More voters want to hear answers when it comes to health care. We heard that earlier this hour. It's not just an issue of money. For so many who have experienced the system, its costly dysfunction cries out for change, even today, 6 years after the Affordable Care Act. For Dr. James Weinstein, his personal anguish is part of that cry. His daughter Brianna was diagnosed with leukemia when she was 13 months old. For 12 years, he and his wife shuttled her to doctor's appointments, the hospital. There were countless tests, chemo treatments, fights with the insurance company, and 5 relapses. Dr. Weinstein is the CEO and president of the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical System. His frustration became the book Unraveled, Prescriptions to Repair a Broken Healthcare System. Dr. Weinstein remembers clearly the moment his eyes were opened to healthcare from the outside.
I was in a laboratory doing some experiments, and I was called by our pediatrician at the time to come back to the hospital, which is never a good message. And, of course, my stomach sank to the floor. I couldn't drive fast enough and was shaking the whole way when I saw my wife, you know, a new mother, young, beautiful woman who I loved dearly, scared, and a little 12-month, 13-month-old child, totally unaware of what was happening. And the doctor walks in with 6 residents and 5 interns and, a potpourri of other people, as academic centers tend to do, unconscionably, not appropriate way for families, and says, your daughter has cancer. The world kind of falls apart. I think the system, despite me being an attending physician there, practicing doctor there, I felt like probably how any family felt. I didn't know what to do. My wife said, let's just go home. We're not going to talk about this. And she left the room. I was there with my daughter and all these eyes staring at me. I was trying to think, boy, I hope I never have to make any of my patients feel like this. And, of course, was thinking about my daughter and my wife and trying to pull things together because they wanted us to start treatment immediately that day. It was hard. For the next 12 years, daily chemotherapy and radiation and 5 relapses, eventually ending up in her passing away, just caused me to say, I've got to work to change the system. It doesn't work for people.
You know, when you think about the legacy of this experience and, the energy that you've put into the healthcare system, is it possible for you to think of your daughter as a symbol for every powerless person who enters this system? Thinking that, what is the one thing or 10 things or 1,000 things the system needs to do to help them?
If they could imagine themselves in the position that any patient is in, whether it's my daughter or a loved one in their family or a friend, how do you make their experience just a little bit better given the complexities of the system? And how do you allow them to be involved in the decision process? In the book, we talk about where do you get care? When you see a doctor for the first time, what do you do? When they say they want to do a test, what does that really mean and what's going to happen? What does it cost? You know, we went through so many experiences of things that the insurance company didn't want to pay for. You know, I was told we're going to save my daughter's life and you're telling me you're not going to pay for it? I mean, I had to call a bunch of people to figure out how to get it paid for. In my practice, because I took care of cancer, I tried to provide them with that kind of care and thoughtfulness. Even though I knew some of my patients would die, and they did, I'd make sure that my wife and I flew to their funerals to be there with their family, because it was really important that this wasn't just about health care, it was about people and trying to be there with people and understanding the decisions that have to be made to make this a personal business. We've turned this into such a commodity and so much about money that we've lost our way as a people to actually think about how we can do these in a compassionate way and still do the right thing and not do things that are unnecessary, inappropriate, that actually hurt people.
Unlike other people who, think it's important for efficiency reasons and clarity and perhaps economic disclosure, you really make the point that this is the healthcare system's way in to reassure a patient that everything's under control, that they're capable of making the decision, that nobody's going to hurt them, and that includes financially, because it's really important, the financial element, particularly right at the beginning of care. And the healthcare system just doesn't grasp the humanity involved in making sure patients have that kind of information. Why?
There's a lot of people in healthcare, as you well know from your own experiences, that care a lot. But when you get at the system level, it becomes way too impersonal. And it becomes a transaction rather than a compassion and an interaction. We have to go from transactions to interactions to compassionate understanding. And all of the components are important. It's not just who's going to pay the bill. It's what happens to me as an individual person in this system. And when you look at the spending in healthcare and what's really the issues, a lot of the socioeconomic issues in our country are just avoided. I'm sitting on this panel for the National Academy of Medicine on health equity for the United States. And, you know, we just have so many pieces that we haven't paid attention to that lead to healthcare issues. We can take the Flint, Michigan example, or we can look at any area of pollution in the environment. We can look at housing inequities and nutrition and food supplements, the inequities in education. All of these things lead to poor health.
I mean, how we ignore mental health care?
Yeah, well, we stopped paying for it, so people started ignoring it because they weren't getting paid for it. If you paid for it, people would start to get really interested in it. We have all of these kind of towers that are not interacting in ways to create a better whole.
In this fight, does Brianna speak to you?
Oh, every day. I wear her on the lapel of my jacket. My wife and I support what's called Give Kids the World, which is a group down in Florida that takes care of terminally ill children. My daughter, unfortunately, because you're terminal, you get to go there, experienced it, and they gave me a little pin of a face of a child that says, Give Kids the World. And every day I touch and look at that pin and say, you know, I got to keep going. Got to keep doing it.
Well, Dr. Weinstein, thanks so much. What an extraordinary service you have done and are doing, and it means nothing compared to the sacrifice that you and your wife and family have experienced.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you and your audience, and I hope that we can touch a lot of families who aren't in a situation like we faced or others, and I wish them well, and Godspeed.
Dr. James Weinstein is Chief Executive Officer and President of the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Health System and the co-author of Unraveled, Prescriptions to Repair a Broken Healthcare System.